Good afternoon, everybody. Kevin Broughton coming at you from Loan Officer Impact. And for those of you that have tuned into our podcast, I hope we're bringing you insane and immense value. And today we have some really special guests. Our mission here at Loan Officer Impact is to impact positively the lives of loan officers nationwide, regardless of whatever company they work at. And I think today you'll get at least four or five takeaways that you could implement in your business tomorrow and really see massive improvements. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce a couple friends of mine from the Northern Kentucky marketplace, a town called Cold Springs. I'd like to say hi to Danielle and Ken Prost. How are you guys?
Great, how are you?
Hey, thanks so much for joining with me today. I really appreciate you committing a little bit of time to me. You know, you have a special place in my heart as both friends and partners. And for those of you that might not know Ken and Danielle, they're exceptional. They closed over 250 loans this year. They closed over 300 last year, and they've just built a machine. And what I love most about them, they've been with me for about 3 years now, and they're unbelievably cool people, and we've become friends, which is more important to me than the business side. But I've also watched them grow. And when I met them, in my opinion, they had more of a career, and today they absolutely have a business. And there's a huge difference between the two. If you've turned into any of our podcasts, you know what I'm talking about. So I'm going to ask Ken and Danielle just a few questions and get their insight, but I hope everyone really pays attention today, because I guarantee with what these folks do every day is different than what most do, and it's a direct response to their exceptional results. So hey, Ken, first of all, congratulations to both of you on a great year. But obviously we've been in a new market for an entire year now, and yet you guys have still thrived. What would you say are the one or two biggest reasons that you've seen a bit of a downturn, but nothing like the rest of the country has seen?
Wearing lovely Christmas sweaters like this.
Yeah,
you'll that's be more successful if you wear ugly Christmas sweaters sometimes. Anyway, I would say we realized that towards the end of last year that the market was going to be shifting. And we made a concerted effort to market, get out there, meet with realtors, not only realtors we've worked with and help those relationships, but meet new realtors and let them know what we can do. And it was intentional and focused before the end of last year. And you know, they say it takes at least 90 days for your results to start being visible. And I'd say it was probably late March, early April, we started really seeing a lot more referrals coming in from the newer realtors, as well as the realtors we had been working with already. So we had a really detailed marketing plan to cultivate that purchase business so that if refis slowed down, which they did, we would still be successful. And we didn't have a huge dip in our production because of that.
Not at all. In fact, your dollar volume was pretty close to the same. Your units were slightly lower. But Danielle, what would you say? Do you agree with Ken that the concerted marketing effort in starting it way back at the end of 2021 versus waiting till the middle of this year, was that a focal point? Or what else did you do that you think made a tremendous difference?
I think we agree with Ken, but we also went from where, if you had asked us before, like, how are you guys successful? Because we've been successful for a while. It was kind of like, I don't know, it's magic. And instead of having like this magical, mystical plan, which wasn't a plan, we just had a good reputation and just kept building on that. We had a very detailed, dialed down plan of this is the interaction that we want our agents to have with us. This is the interactions we want our borrowers to have with us. And then from the first phone call, whether they're an agent or a borrower, to the closing table, how do we want that to go? And then we worked with Success Mortgage's marketing department to create journeys within the CRM that would help task every interaction that we want our people to have. And so detailing like all of the technical part and all the, what's that called? Like all of our,
so let me ask this. So your process has improved from the moment you have a first conversation with both a borrower and a referral source to the moment that the transaction closes and beyond is exceptionally detailed. It is definable, and you could go to any point and tell me exactly where you are in the process. Is that accurate?
100%. And using our whole tech stack, that's what I'm saying. Using as much of our tech stack as possible to implement, like, still having the human interaction with our borrowers or realtors, but having the tasks that prompt everybody to do whatever step they need to do along the process.
Okay, so two takeaways so far, just for our audience. Number one, a designed marketing plan that is formalized, that is adhered to, that is held accountable to, that is followed up with, that's changed if needed. It's a real plan, number one, correct?
Yes.
And number two, a combination of utilizing the best technology in the industry in conjunction with never losing the personal touch. It has to be both, yep. Right?
High tech and high touch.
High tech, high touch, and a plan that is solid and founded in actual accountability-based tasks on a regular basis.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, great. Two things. You have currently about 80 realtors that know you, like you, and trust you, and on some level, whether it be a lot or a little, refer to you when they have a borrower need, correct?
Yes. Yep.
In a year ago today, was that number 80 as well, or has that grown?
No, it was like 48.
Okay. So again, here's a third takeaway for anyone tuning in. You increase the number of realtors that know, like, and trust you and currently refer to you from 48 to 80. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a 32-person increase. That's exactly a 67% increase in number of relationships, correct?
Yes.
And that obviously led to part of the result of you closing north of 250 units in a year, correct?
100%.
So for anyone who is entering into the 2023 market and feels that it could be very similar to 2020, they must increase their number of referral sources, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Because you can't get as many referrals from the same number of people in this market as you could have a year or two years ago, correct?
I don't think so. Not unless you know that maybe an agent's not using you exclusively. And if you could dive deeper into that relationship, would be helpful.
And also, don't, if you start that down the path, don't panic after a few weeks because you're not seeing results. It takes time. The one thing we realized is some of these newer agents as far as our relationship, they're not having typically a great year either. So some of them didn't send us a referral for 6 months is because they weren't very busy. And they started getting busier as the year progressed. And we're seeing more and more of those come in. But give it 90 days. Don't just think after a few weeks, so it's not going to work or it's not working, and give up. You have to be consistent and give it time for the plan to come to fruition.
So that's a really important point. And you can just hit on something that one of our episodes we had a couple weeks ago, we talked about when you're digging for a diamond and you may have dug 6 feet down and maybe the diamond is 6 feet and 6 inches, but the guy gives up or the gal gives up because they've already dug 6 feet and they say, oh, there's no diamonds here. And they don't know that the diamond is literally a couple more hacks and they'd be at the diamond. And it sounds like you guys never stray from that belief system that you have to keep marketing and putting it out there, even if the result doesn't come the next week, correct?
Right.
And one of the things I've marveled in getting to know you over the years is there's two words that come to mind when I think of you guys, and those words are strategic and accountable. And can you talk a little bit about what those words mean to you? And are those integral parts of your business being both strategic and accountable based?
I think we're very strategic in so much, like a couple weeks ago, Ken and I sat down, even though we're married, we're with each other all the time, we still have to be very deliberate on when we're going to plan and finalize stuff for the next year, because otherwise time just gets away. And right. So we went away for a weekend, planned out this next year. We dive down into what each month is going to look like. What marketing events are we going to focus on? How many home buyer seminars are we going to do? How many agents are we going to meet with? And really, and like assigned it all out to myself, our marketing assistant, Ken, and so to keep each other accountable, put it all on the task list, calendared out everything, brought Carla in, brought the person who doesn't work for SMP, but they do like all of our print marketing, and like brought everybody in for collaboration and just.
Yeah, and Carla's our marketing manager, just so everybody knows.
But really like assigned out the year. Like, we've already done that, so we already know what to anticipate. And we can pivot if needed, right? Like, if there's big announcements and everything, but...
Sure. Like, but everyone on the team is accountable to some outcome, correct?
Yes.
Correct. Okay. And each of the conversations we've had in the last couple months versus 2 years ago, in my eyes, seem more strategic. Ken, mm-hmm. could you speak to that a little bit? Are you being more strategic regularly or just occasionally?
I try to be very strategic regularly. I'd say most months, most, excuse me, most of the time I am. The one thing that I think it's strategic and accountable is I've done it pretty much all year is every month. First of all, with my loan partners, our team, we meet daily, kind of a huddle to go over our goals, our high leverage activities, our goals for the day. But also at the beginning of the month, I let them know, or for the next 30 days, this is my goal. I want us to have 25 new units in our pipeline. And I remind them when we meet every day, I send out email updates to our staff as we get new loans in the pipeline, create that excitement. And I put it on a spreadsheet. I think if you write it down and it's visual in front of you, it's more concrete than just saying, hey, I'd like to have 25 new loans. So I update it as we go and update the staff on our progress. And almost every month, every time we've done that, we've hit the number or we're darn close, which is really good in this market.
So a takeaway, a daily interaction that's meaningful. It's not just, hi, how you doing? How was your weekend? It's a daily interaction around the goals for the day, the high leverage activities for the day that everyone's held accountable every single day, and written and stated goals that everyone on the team is crystal clear on.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, they give me their updates, what they accomplished, that they've achieved the goals that we set, the tasks that we set, whether it's getting out a pre-approval, doing a pre-approval checklist, me meeting with two customers and doing a consult. Everybody updates each other. We update the results of the day. So
it's every day,
at the end of the day, at the end of the day.
Okay, so every day there's a recap based on the accountability factor of whether the people on the team did the things or not, yourself included.
Yes, yes.
Excellent. Excellent. Another takeaway. So there's three or four takeaways already on how you can build a 25-unit closed month team very quickly if you'll commit to everything that they just said that they do every day. I think that, do you guys have some special human power that no one else possesses? I mean, could someone else duplicate what you're doing and achieve similar results?
No, I think what we do is duplicatable.
Okay. That's what I was thinking too, because it feels like even the best of the best, which you guys are top 1% in the country, obviously, you know, there's not anyone that I know that has a license in this industry that if they said every day what you just said, I will do high leverage activities only, I will be held accountable, I will be strategic, I will be intentional, I will follow up every day, I will have my team crystal clear on the mission, the goal, and the vision, and I will make certain that at the end of every day, the people on the team and myself either did the activity or they didn't, and if they didn't, there's a consequence, and if they did, there's a reward?
Correct.
Correct.
I mean, right there's a blueprint for success, no?
Yep.
Yep.
So you do something that's kind of fun and interesting when certain goals are met. Is that true? I heard a fun little story the other day. Would you mind sharing what that actual little, Danielle, did you invent that or how'd that come to be and what is it?
Just ask?
Yes.
Yeah, go grab it. So we wanted our whole team, one of the things that we realized that we were missing was really bringing in our whole team to ask for referrals. You know, they're talking to a lot more people than we do. So, we really retrained our team on how to ask clients, borrowers, realtors, you know, whoever, all for referrals. And then when they get a referral from that, the Just Ask campaign, then they get to pick a ping pong ball out of this.
Okay, so hang on. For those that are tuning in on Spotify, not on YouTube, because on YouTube you can see us, but on some of the other mediums you can't. They have one of those, what do you call that thing?
Like a bingo ball.
A bingo ball container that spins around, and in the container is 50 different balls. All right, so what do the balls say on them?
You know, some say a Friday off, $100, $10, $20.
$5 lotto ticket.
Yeah, or the best one is Ken shaves his head.
All right. So let me make this clear.
That's the worst one.
So if the team through the Just Ask campaign garners a referral, they get to pick a ball out of the machine and whatever's on that ball they get. So they might get $100, they might get $10, they might get a gift card, they might have Ken shave his head. There's a variety of different things written on the ball.
I think one's like they get a car wash or car detail, like any of that. So
I'm assuming that almost everyone tuning into this podcast knows what the Just Ask campaign is. But if you don't, it's a campaign that every team member, regardless of their job title, proactively asks for referrals to existing borrowers and existing referral sources in a non-salesy, non-annoying way. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Right.
When that becomes part of the culture of who they are to ask, it doesn't seem out of place or abnormal, correct?
Correct.
So just a quick little freebie if anyone wants to. If anyone would like to go to growingwithkevin.com, that's growingwithkevin.com. My schedule is on there and you can sign up for a 15-minute info session and I will share with you three different ways you could implement the Just Ask campaign where your teammates don't feel it's awkward or that they're sounding salesy. So that's been a big hit for you guys, I take it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Our processors pulled from it twice last week. And so, yeah.
Good. Even Victor, our new loan partner, He got him. Just Ask. He's all excited. He's going to pick it out tomorrow.
Good. What an awesome little idea. And that's another thing that is a huge takeaway from me. I know you and some of the folks tuning in don't know you, but I love how fun you guys are. And every time I'm around you, I feel better. And every time I'm physically seeing you, it makes me have a better day because you're fun and you're cool to hang out with and you implement things that truly matter to your teammates. I got the distinct pleasure of spending a lot of time with your teammates recently, and they love the culture you've created. They love being on your team. They see themselves as equal to you, and that's all leadership. And so I don't think that can be overstated. The value and importance of how you lead a team matters because those people wake up every day and they are crystal clear on your mission. And more importantly, their attitudes are awesome to accomplish the mission. I didn't hear one negative word from anyone on your team. And we just went through, obviously, the most challenging year that probably most people tuning in have ever been in the mortgage business. And if you just spent time with your team, like I just did, you wouldn't even know you were in a challenging market because of their attitudes. And that's leadership. And that's the creation of what you guys have built and the foundation of your success. And you should be very proud of how you lead, because that's not how everyone leads. So I commend you on what you've done. And I know that's not always easy for people to do. And how you've done it and the way you've done it to me is very, very impressive. Can you guys just take a quick minute and share a little bit about your leadership style and how that's come to create the culture that you've created inside your four walls?
Yeah, so a big thing that we do in our office is we do team promotions. So every year we do a trip to the Caribbean promotion. So like 1 year it was Dominican Republic, a couple years in a row it was Mexico, and last year they won the trip. So we took everybody and their spouses to Mexico, and you just build such good relationships with your groups. And then some of the girls in the office, we have a lot of women that work with us and on our team, and we've all like taken a weekend and went to Florida together. And I mean, we didn't pay for it, but it was like just a nice thing to do. So I really just, like, we have a Secret Santa next week. This week today we all packaged some gift bags, food bags that we're giving out to people with food insecurity later this week. But I think just constantly doing things together as a team and letting them know you value them is what's important. People want to be important.
Well, and the other thing that I can tell you from an outsider standpoint that I witness, and I think it's the key to your success, is the lack of ego. And I know people that have been as successful as you, but are not as humble as you. And I think that's a great component of great leaders is ego-free leadership. And that's really where you get to the next level when you place the importance of others greater than of yourselves. And to me, you exhibit that through your actions all the time. And that's what I like most about you. That's why we're friends, because I you're my kind of people, you know, and I think that's why you've built the team that you've built, because of that non-ego-based leadership. And I think it's very impressive to see. And you know what else? Something that I really don't, you don't even know I noticed this, but I did. I recall the year that the big trip, you know, like the Dominican and Mexico and all that, when you do pay for them and a spouse or a significant other, when you didn't hit the goal, you didn't go on the trip. And that's really important, because I hear a lot of people setting goals, coming up short and still offering the reward. And I think that that's not a great practice, because then it diminishes the value of the reward. And it says not hitting a goal is acceptable. And what I loved about that year when you didn't reward the trip was you were right. They didn't hit the goal. As a team, you didn't hit the goal. Therefore, there's no trip. And that actually is better leadership than going on the trip and saying, oh, we came close. You know what I mean?
And that was hard, because we had some pushback from a few people on our team. Like, well, we came close. Why didn't we get a second prize? Because it was never on the, it was never part of the goal.
Correct. But that, again, it's an example of great leadership. And then you hit it the next year and everyone went. So it still worked out, you know? And so, but you're great leaders. And I guess I'd close up by saying this. What would you give as advice to those tuning in who are loan officers that, that might be having more of a challenge attracting and keeping clients today than you guys are? Give me one or two things that if you were not having the results that you're having, you would laser focus on over the next 30 days.
Well, thinking about staying on track and your goals, I would to be the best at communicating to your clients and communicating to the realtors and your referral partners. That's one thing we do stress, is if you touch the client, the lead, you touch the referral partner. You update the referral partner all the way. Be the best at communicating. Because I know that years ago, that was one of the things I heard, that there was a case study done. What was the biggest complaint amongst realtors is lack of communication from their lender. So if you can be the best at communicating to your clients, communicating to your realtors, your referral partners, updating them, whether it's good news, bad news, they're not ready to buy, whatever it is, and follow up. So communicate, be a great at communication, also follow up with the clients and the realtors. You'll be a lot more successful than you've been in the past.
Danielle, you agree? Have anything to add to that?
I agree. You know, take some time to sit and think, you know, right? We think a lot less than we should about your business, and really plan out the interactions you want in a perfect file or purchase. How would you want that to go? What kind of interactions would you want? And then plan it all around that.
All right, so the takeaway at the end there, if you need to get business tomorrow, communicate like a maniac with your current borrowers and referral sources, good, bad, or indifferent news, communicate it like crazy. Follow up, follow up, follow up, never stop. Pour into your referral sources, love on them, love on your borrowers, do that, and think more. And so, Danielle, that last part is really important to me as well, because I've watched you raise your strategic IQ over the past year, and you used to be 100% a doer, and now you are part-time doer, part-time thinker, and that is really important. And I think every single loan officer in the country should really take a look at doing something that I know I've implemented personally, and it's helped me tremendously, but every single day on my calendar, I have a 30-minute block every day, Monday through Friday, where I'm not allowed to look at an email, respond to a text, make a phone call. I must only think, just think, about strategic improvements I can make on myself and my business that day, that week, that quarter, that month, that annual, whatever it is, the time frame. Think more. And if every single person spent a little more time thinking and then went and implemented, it's better than implementing straight off the rip. Would you agree?
Yep, I do.
All right. I'm at my time limit. You guys have been more than generous. I love you both. I'm so very proud of what you've built. I'm proud of our partnership. You know, I'm exceptionally grateful of our friendship and what you do in your market that's created this incredible reputation that you have, and the way you treat people, the way you do it is something to be really admired. I hope everyone tuning in today got a minimum of 4 or 5 takeaways that they can implement tomorrow. Again, if you'd like to recap any of this, please go to growingwithkevin.com. That's growingwithkevin.com. I'd be happy to spend 15 minutes and try to help you implement 1, 2, 3, 4 of the ahas that you might have gotten today. So thanks so much. Hope you guys have a great Christmas. I got a wonderful gift from a couple gals on my staff today. You know, my son is going to go pitch at the University of Pittsburgh in 1.5 years, and I'm donning this Pittsburgh shirt today because they were kind enough to buy me this awesome gift for Christmas. So,
love it.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Everyone for tuning in. Thank you, Ken and Danielle, for sharing. I appreciate y'all. And for everyone that likes Loan Officer Impact, please keep watching the episodes. Our goal is to help every loan officer across the country, regardless of where you work, have a better life. And hopefully these episodes are helping you have that.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good one. Talk soon.
Be sure to visit successunlimited.us for free loan officer tools, tips, and video resources. To schedule time with Kevin, visit growingwithkevin.com.